So are you going to tell us where you're taking us, Janet, or not?
Yeah, we've got to get back to the store to record the next episode of Dave's Apology Tour Series.
Don't you worry, boys. I brought along all your recording equipment. And I've seen to it that Dave will not only continue his apologies for that horrible summer film fest, but he'll atone for his sins as well.
Atone for my sins? What does that mean? Isn't a month or so of non-Dave programming apology enough?
I'm talking about atonement, Dave. You need to apologize to the Almighty for what you've done.
The Almighty? Wait, we're not doing another month of Jesus movies, are we?
Ha! No. We're going to watch a movie that will bring people together. Not whatever Mel Gibson torture porn you sickos watched in January.
Thank God.
Ha! A perfect segue, Ryan. Here we are. Alto, and which one is the baritone? Never mind. Lord, I'm gonna get these two back in the habit if it kills me.
In the not-too-distant future of the neo-post-apocalypse, a group of movie fans, led by their charismatic but oafish leader Dave, brings the lost art of cinema back to the wasteland.
Welcome to Apocalypse Video.
Singer Dolores Van Cartier always wanted to be a star performer.
Nothing you can say can tear me away from my God.
But tonight, she's going to become a star witness.
Hey, is there a problem?
I've never seen anybody killed before.
If you testify, I'm going to put you in the last place on earth that Vince would ever look for you.
She's an ideal prospect for rehabilitation.
Absolutely not. That is not a person you can hide. That is a conspicuous person designed to stick out.
Look at me. I'm a penguin.
I'd like to offer a great big hi there and hello to Sister Mary Clarence.
This stuff is terrible. It tastes like... There are three vows every nun must accept. The vow of poverty, the vow of obedience, and the vow of chastity.
I am out of here.
Hey, sister. Are we expecting any more of your friends?
This turns into a nun's bar. I'm out of here.
There's got to be something around here that I can do that's not going to chip my nails or annoy anybody. You will join the choir.
The choir? We're terrible.
This is going to be hell.
Tell me about it.
We can rock this place.
I love it.
What if I forget the words?
You're going to go straight to hell.
We could cut a demo.
You're a pioneer.
She ain't no nun.
Corrupted the entire choir.
I was thinking more like Vegas, you know, get some butts in the seats.
I'd rather sing than do anything.
It's better than ice cream.
It's better than springtime.
It's better than sex. No, I've heard.
Sister Act.
We're always going to be together.
That's what Diana Ross said.
All right, so Janet, I don't know, we're technically in church. We're in the back, like in one of the offices, but should we be quiet? I don't know. We're recording a podcast here, but
we should be singing.
We should be singing of a baby.
You have to make sure that all the people all the way back in the pews can hear you, Dave.
Oh, Maria.
You guys can't see me, but I'm jiggling his diaphragm.
It took a lot of work to whip us into shape.
And whipping I did.
Do you feel I've properly atoned now that I've watched Sister Act?
Yeah. I mean, you your singing could still use a little bit of work, but the atonement's there.
Well, I gotta say, this is the second time you've presented a movie to me as a form of punishment. The first was Dread, and I gotta say, you can crack the whip all you want, Jenna. I like your punishment.
It's not.
I like
punishment.
Dread, and I like Sister Act.
It's atonement.
It sounds kind of the way you said that, Dave. It sounds kind of kinky. I must say.
Yeah, step on me with your punishment.
Step on me, nun, mommy.
Well, I'm your host, Dave. This is your next installment in Dave's Apology Tour, Atonement Edition. I'm joined again by fellow nuns, I guess. Are we part of the
sisters?
Clergy now?
Yeah, we're
sisters. Ryan?
Dave, if this turns into a nun bar, I'm out of here.
Can I borrow a quarter for the jukebox, Jana?
Get out of bed, you daisy head.
Okay, that little thing, the sheet that the nun gives him, or gives Whoopi Goldberg, that was like a core memory that got unlocked.
Me too. I love it.
I had forgotten about that, but something about that little sound effect. We'll play it now. Wake up, daisy head.
Get out of bed, you daisy head.
That just it made me realize I had seen this movie a lot as a kid. What about you guys?
Oh yeah. Well, yes. I love this movie. Love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. Love it.
Right?
No, I mean, I think it's one I would catch on TV, but like I couldn't tell you if it was from the first or second one, really. Mm. And then I don't think I've ever seen the beginning and the end of this movie. So,
oh.
Like, oh, really?
I couldn't remember the setup. I never knew why she was in, you know, the coven, you know, or whatever. And I didn't know, I didn't know how it ended up. I just always saw the middle of this movie.
Did you even know Harvey Keitel was in this movie?
I don't think I did. No, I don't think I did. So I've seen, it's one I feel like I've seen, like, a lot of those pieces, but, like, I couldn't remember the setup or anything like that.
Who is everybody's favorite character? Before we get started, I have to ask this.
I have two answers.
There's so many good ones. Me too, yeah, me too. I mean, Whoopi Goldberg is a given if she's one of them. She's one of my favorites.
Yeah, she's like too good. And she's like even, she's, I think, so she elevates good. Even the material, I think.
Yes.
A little bit also.
She's so good. When you're watching this movie, you're like, oh, yeah, it, okay. Like,
yeah,
she's
very natural feeling too.
She was a star. Yeah.
For what she's being in like this pretty broad comedy, and she comes off really like a. Like a person in a weird way,
yes.
You know? I don't know.
Oh!
So she's good at, yeah, right? And then, but I don't know. Speaking of core memories unlocked, I had to look up her name. So Sister Mary Roberts or Mary Robert? I think I must have had a crush on Sister Mary Roberts.
Is she the quiet
like
one? The quiet
yeah,
one?
I must
yeah,
have.
Okay.
I think because I was thinking like because. I don't know exactly, but I remember seeing that and being, I don't think I knew at the time or something what it was, but something about that unlocked something in me.
Oh, interesting. Interesting.
But,
Dave?
Yeah.
I'm going to go, you know, after this watch, I mean, I pretty much like everyone. They're all great. I don't think there's one character it's like, they weren't very good. But I think the MVP of this movie, I mean, aside from Whoopi, is Maggie Smith as...
You loved her.
She's just... I love characters like that start off, you know, prickly, like these hard asses who are like eventually like, you know, unfreeze and are suddenly like that smile she gives Whoopi Goldberg at the end of the movie had me crying. This movie had me crying three times.
Me too.
Ryan, did they get any cries out of you?
Yeah, I it's that middle, I think, like
the first song.
I can't. I should have clocked it
when they're
exactly.
Like cleaning up the neighborhood. Maybe.
It's more probably like when they're just kind of like popping
love,
off and
just
stuff and like
touch of love.
Like just the stuff's working. You know, maybe even like when she's first kind of like teaching them and realize she's good at like teaching these people and
yes.
Stuff like that.
That's when
kind
the tears started forming for me.
That's yes. Probably the jam. For me.
I just love. Kathy Najimy's character. She's so incredible.
Yeah,
I just love her so much. And in the second one, it's really funny because it's like a little bit of a spoiler for the second one. They go to get Dolores to come help them teach kids. And one of the jokes is the older nun. So it's Kathy and Jimmy, the older nun, and then the shy nun. not Maggie Smith, the other older one. And
the one who thought things were better when you were getting whipped.
Yeah, she's like, it was hell. I loved it. That lady is also great. That would be me, probably. they go to get her, and that older one is like, oh, yeah, it's so tough. Kathy and Jimmy's character, she frowned twice last week or whatever. And it's just like, she's such a ray of sunshine.
Yeah, she reminded me of you, Jana.
Oh, that's very sweet.
You maybe grasped your whole personality off this character.
When I'm not ball busting you for being a horny pervert or
well, you're an amalgamation of all the Sister Act characters. I can only assume at some point Jana got with the habit. She got back in the habit, and it just formed her personality.
What? Even Harvey Keitel? I'm a part Harvey Keitel, too.
Why does, I guess speaking of that, why does a Sister Mary Robert wear the different habit?
She's not a nun. She's a nun in training, basically.
Okay, she's not become a master yet. She's still correct. An apprentice.
I think she's supposed to.
You can
be
one of this council, but you will not be granted master.
And that's when she went crazy and killed all the students.
Well, this is like, it's kind of funny because this is.
Yeah, it was more like, sleep tight, sleepy head, and killed him in his sleep.
Is this the second or third nun movie we've watched on the show? Because Black Narcissus was an early movie.
That was one. Black Narcissus. What would the other one have been?
I don't know. I'm just trying to think if there's any another nun movies. Like, they're usually comedies or horror movies. Like, there was the Immaculate, the Sydney Sweeney one last year. Anybody watch that, though,
unless I...
maybe I dreamt doing a podcast.
It all comes back to Black Narcissus for you, huh, Ryan?
Well, I had thoughts of this movie a little bit with it, you know, because that movie is such a... it became a favorite of mine.
Yeah.
And it's kind of similar.
Is that a comedy? That's a comedy?
No, it's like from the 40s, and it's about like women that get sent to the Himalayas to like start a nunnery, and they end up becoming like transfixed by the beauty of like the people and like the place, and they kind of like start to lose faith a little bit, you know?
Which that is kinda, sounds incredible.
For being sort of from the 40s, it kind of feels... And one of them kind of gets a little evil, which is
Also, you're forgetting, there's an English guy that comes in the joint wearing khaki shorts.
And they're all, like, just horned up by this English guy. And so, yeah. But it's good. It's very modern for the day.
It's a good movie. I recommend it.
Sound good. 1940s, I don't know.
It's a very colorful movie.
Yeah, it's like great, an early color movie. Shot. It's cool.
There was something that I was thinking about for this movie. I was like, oh yeah, and then there's this person in this movie too, and it was somebody that you did recently, but I can't remember who it was. So maybe it'll come to me as you do the synopsis or whatever.
Yeah, so I guess I should I be the one who gives the synopsis for Sister Act, since I'm the one I'm trying to atone here, see what I've learned.
Sure.
So Sister Act, like Ryan said, believe it or not, this movie starts off with Harvey Keitel a little bit. Like, he's kind of the one that gets the story going. We begin in Reno. I seem to remember it. I forgot it was Reno.
Oh,
I thought
that was
Vegas.
What it was. I'm so sorry. Whoopi Goldberg was in Ghost.
And that's the other nun movie, Ryan, because she gave the check to the nuns.
Okay. Maybe that's
one. Yes, that nun movie.
The nun movie. Well, it's Ghost is nun adjacent.
And it is. I'm sure Whoopi kind of triggered that memory in your head, too.
Well, it's fun. I mean, I'm sure a lot of people have said this, but like a lot of people are like, oh, man, is Sister Act a sequel to Ghost? Because
what?
There's a moment when her character in Ghost, like, she's like, I don't want to give it to a bunch of nuns. It's almost like it incepts you. It's like that could be an idea for a fun movie. Whoopi
Which
Goldberg.
One came first?
Ghost.
Oh, okay.
So this game.
Big pop. Well, actually, she had stuff before that.
Well, Whoopi was not the first choice for Sister Act. It was Bette Midler.
Oh, I can see that.
I don't know.
Anyway, we start in Reno, Nevada, And Whoopi Goldberg is part of a troupe. They're like a singing troupe in this casino, and nobody gives a crap about them because they are not on the biggest of stages. They're literally like in front of like what looks like a Keno game or something. I love the way it's shot too. These guys are just kind of looking up, like not even caring, and Whoopi Goldberg, it's clear on her face through every facial. She is one of like the best like facial expression actors I've ever seen. Like so the look she's giving like her team, like she's like, get your hand out of my face, the looks that she's given to this guy, and she sums up her performance like, ah, whatever, you guys don't give a shit. Like, let's just leave. And she's in this relationship with Harvey Keitel, who's clearly a gangster, and Harvey Keitel is not wanting to leave his wife, and Whoopi Goldberg is pissed about that. And eventually, he sends her this nice fur coat or something.
Which is disgusting. It's absolutely disgusting. Fur and mink is nasty, disgusting, but
Whoopi doesn't think so initially. She's almost tempted, but then she looks inside the coat and notices, oh, it's got his wife's name in it. What the hell? So she goes up, I'm gonna throw this in his face, I'm leaving, screw this guy. And wouldn't you know it, she happens to walk in on Harvey Keitel as he's told his goons, who these goons, by the way, were the goons in pretty much every movie in the 90s. I recognize these guys.
Including Kurt Russell and Keitel.
The goons are great.
Oh, they're great, yeah. She walks in on Harvey Keitel ordering them to kill another guy. I don't think we watched this on the show, but he's the guy that steals the rocket and the Rocketeer. They shoot this guy in
your
head.
Your favorite superhero.
My favorite superhero movie. Maybe we should have watched that this summer.
Wait, Dave, you have a birthday. You can pick this.
Yeah, birthday shot, birthday. You know. But we should do birthday shots. Yeah.
My birthday's already long past by this point when we're recording this episode. But anyway, she freaks out. She goes on the run. And it's an interesting scene because they don't immediately shoot her. She walks in on it, and Harvey Keitel like kind of turns around like nothing happened. Just like, oh, hey, Dolores. Because, you know, because it's not like... It's not like there's no doubt that she saw what just happened.
Right.
Like, he knows. He's like, oh, hey, baby. He's like, okay, you're going to apologize? Okay, bye. And then immediately the goons are like, so you're going to let her live, I guess? And
well,
he's
the
like,
goons,
ah.
So he, it probably is speaking to how normal of a thing this is for in his life.
Yeah.
That he doesn't even realize that she could be freaked out by it. And then the goons are like, so she seemed kind of freaked out. And then Harvey Keitel is like, oh, did she? Which is, I really like their dynamic because it's not like, he's not, you know, this like sociopath that's like.
He doesn't want to kill her. He's like, oh, damn it. All right. Yeah, she saw. I guess you're right.
And he has like a nice dynamic with his goons. He's not like, I'm going to fucking kill you guys if you speak to me or whatever.
Well, he has a PG dynamic because this is a PG film.
Well, yeah, that's true. But he listens to that. He seems like he's an okay boss. Like, he listens.
You have like the strangest barometer for evil characters in movies. You're like, Judge Dredd ain't so bad.
He's not. He listens to the goon. He listens to his goons. We've all had bosses that didn't listen to us. This guy's better. We don't one up from them.
Well, okay. All right. Let's just take a check here. Ryan, would you rather have me or Harvey Keitel as your boss?
I think that's a dangerous question to ask, Dave.
The wolf? Yeah, I don't know. Keitel seems pretty cool. He seems like he's a good actor. He's in some good movies and stuff. You
know? He probably feeds his goons, Dave.
Oh, jeez. That again. That old argument.
I think I already have Harvey Keitel as a boss. In his
he doesn't make them do trivia for one chalupa.
Anyway, Whoopi escapes. She goes to the cops. And also, the cop here, I like this guy. He was in Do the Right Thing. He's also Robbie in the Sam Raimi Spider-Man movies.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He's the cop, and he's like, oh, I'm going to put you somewhere where he'll never think to find you. Smash cut to the church. The organ music's playing.
Very genius. It's a genius.
And that's basically the movie.
Somebody. Which apparently you're not actually allowed to hide witness protection people in clergy. You're not allowed to hide them in the press. Big fucking surprise there. And then there was something else because they're considered high risk. And I don't know why the clergy would be high risk, but...
That's it. That's the thing.
Yeah.
Wow, yeah. Interesting.
It was
intrigued. Happen because of this movie?
Yeah, it might have been because of the movie.
Well, anyway, he's like, I'll put you in a church in San Francisco. He'll never think to find you there. And she's got to learn to live with, you know, she's got to. And we should mention the movie opens in the past. It opens in 1968 with Whoopi Goldberg as a kid. It's a great little bookend to the movie.
I don't like, I thought the girl, though, that wasn't very good. I felt
what
she was kind of sociopathic.
She's sort of like looking into yeah, you're into space.
Well,
she's like doesn't
like,
they, and then she smiles like, and then she goes.
They cast this girl because we need someone who has a grin as big as Whoopi's.
No, she does look like.
That's where she was cast.
I would say she looks like it, but she's definitely not an actress or something because she has two faces. It's.
Well, to be fair, the scene is like a minute long.
I know, but like she's like people are talking to her and they're like talking to like a brick wall. You know, it's like like there's no life behind those eyes. I'm sorry, little girl.
Jeez. There's no light.
That was my first note
eyes.
Where I was like, it was scary. I was like, Jesus.
She does kind of give a look like, I'm going to kill you.
I know. It's kind of like, that's what you kind of like think that it's going to cut to Whoopi and she's like a hardened criminal or something like that. You know? But it's not. It's just like a kid that's just not paying attention in school. You know, it's a weird, I don't know if
and
it needs.
And she's in a Catholic school too, which is
yeah. It sets up her dislike for church and authority in general, which
I guess authority,
and so it basically, it's like, oh great, I'm back in this crap again. I hated it. I hate the clothes. And I gotta say, like, that's gotta be, this movie knew what it was doing. It's like, what about, no, not Bette Midler. Imagine Whoopi Goldberg in a nun outfit. We got a movie.
That sells the poster.
Okay,
that's a poster.
So good. So Bette Midler is just too big. Whoopi, you believe Whoopi in this, and you still, she has that charisma to really, like, nail it.
It's just, you're right, the image, it sells itself, I think, you know?
Yes. Yeah.
But I would say if they're doing the Catholic thing, that's one thing I wish the movie got into a little bit. Was like there's never really any religion talk in the movie. I would say it's all like very much humanitarian. I feel like everything.
Well,
they
because
kind of
I feel
about.
Like the basically Whoopi, like in the introduction when she's talking to Maggie Smith, like, I will mind my own business. I'm not going to do. But basically, she's saying like, I'm not doing any of this church crap. Like, I will be here, but I'm not doing any of this.
But she's also not set up as like an atheist or anything
no.
like that. It's not like not like, oh, no. And we've brought her to.
I was just surprised it doesn't,
and
I guess maybe that's better. It just doesn't really get into like the people's faith really or anything.
Yeah.
It's more just about like helping, and that's like good kind of thing. But like, it's interesting that like it doesn't touch on any of that at all. And you know, it's I thought it was just fascinating that it doesn't.
So
but I kind of appreciate. It's very focused. This movie's an hour and 40 minutes long, and it whizzes by. Mm-hmm. Like there's no time wasted.
And I had a thought about this movie. I think that this movie is like a successful person of color savior movie. I was like, see, this is how you negate a white savior movie, but you're not going down the road of, like, mysticism, you know, with the people of color or whatever. She's just a person. She's just herself. And so, to me, it really struck me as, like, this is the successful opposite of a white savior movie, but you're also not going down that road of, like, you know, person of color mysticism and stuff. Like, I thought
that was really cool. Well, it's also a great way for her character too, because it's like we established like she's not happy with where she is. Like, she loves to sing, but she's in this like the most crappy, you know, type of singing position you could be in. Like, you're literally on top of the keynote tables as people sometimes look up at you. So what's surprising is that whole element of her, you know, teaching the choir and turning them, you know, bringing people back to the church, because no one goes to this church. Like, there's a shot early on when there's like 10 people in the whole audience, aside from the nuns.
Yeah.
That kind of becomes the point in the movie, but it doesn't happen until like halfway through. I clocked it. It was 45 minutes before she's like, well, you could teach the choir. Like, huh? You know, like, I was kind of surprised it took that long. And once she decides to take this on, and once she leads them and shows them what they're capable of, like, the movie's almost over already. Like, wow, okay, that was fast.
Except for the amazing
Pope.
Songs.
Oh.
Well, that, yeah, so oh my God, those songs, man. Again, it's so strange. Like, I'd seen this movie like 100 times as a kid, but I haven't watched it like in decades. So when that first song pop happens and they start singing
Ave Maria.
They're singing like a traditional Ave Maria song, and Maggie Smith is like, oh, this is great. And the pastor's like, oh, people are starting to like perk up. Then there's a beat. And then they go into like the show tune version, and you're like, yes!
It's people, so good.
People start coming in, they hear what's going on inside.
And young people! She's getting young people in.
She's
too.
Getting young
like
people
punks
in.
On the street, you know.
Yes,
like people off the street start coming in. And yeah, it's such a big moment. And like, I feel like it just goes so hard. And I noticed one of the guys, the guy who did the music for this was Mark Shaman, who's actually, let me pull him up real quick.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, interesting. Okay. So I guess he's working on pretty big movies like Catch Me If You Can, Adam's Family, Misery, A Few Good Men. I'm trying to find like his. Oh, he did Mary Poppins Returns. I was trying to find stuff that had like, you know, song, like big dance numbers like that. Oh, and he also worked on South Park the Movie.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
I don't dislike that movie, but. It is nothing compared to Beavis and Butthead to America.
Wow, you drew a firm line in the sand. You're like, I want Butthead.
Beavis and Butthead to America is such a good movie.
Sounds like
anyway. I just imagine Jana, like, after the movie's over, and like going into the men's bathroom and playing with the urinals. Like, this is amazing. This is the coolest thing I've ever seen.
It is a good ass movie. It's so good.
That was pretty good. Butthead. Do that. Like, that was.
If you haven't watched it, watch it.
It's been a while.
But anyway. Yeah. And so then they also start going out into the community and doing stuff too. Which is
awesome. Cleaning things up and bringing people in. Like, apparently, it's a big thing. Like, this church, like Maggie Smith is really big on like this. These church walls are protecting our nuns. Like there's like they're caged in there. And Whoopi Goldberg's whole thing is like, you got to take this shit off. Let people in, you know, go out and help the community.
I don't know much about. I mean, I feel like even being like Catholic kid, there wasn't like nuns really in like.
Well, around. Are they Catholics in this? Because there's a moment where she's like, were they Catholics?
Oh, really?
One of the nurses says,
are
says
nuns
that.
Not Catholic?
Is I
that-
think they're. Catholic arch they mentioned like arch dying the pope
yeah,
the
they pope
the
shows
pope,
up
Dave.
So maybe oh okay I misread that line maybe that one because the old crabby lady was like were they maybe her the idea was were they not Catholic
yeah
oh yeah, yeah, yeah
okay
yeah, yeah, yeah.
I misheard the line then.
Is there that many nuns at like a small church in San Francisco kind of thing like it seems like there's a ton of them you know.
Well, we see at the end, we see like hundreds of nuns of evidently like going into the, which was kind of the one thing about the movie that was like the most unbelievable.
How dare you,
like,
Dave.
Like, oh, so eventually, so she, you know, they bring the people in. Eventually, like, they catch notice of the Pope. Oh, the Pope's gonna, he's got this busy schedule, but he's gonna come in here and see our little concert that the nuns are gonna put on. Like, this is great. It's bringing people back to the community. And right as that's about to happen, Whoopi Goldberg gets kidnapped. They find her because what happens? One of the guys at the police station
who's
in on it,
he's a
the
dirty rat.
Yeah, he happens to see some paperwork. He figures out where she is.
Oh, this is because of the donation to the
the donation to the church.
And here's
a $10,000 donation.
So this is another product of its time, right? Is that the detective walks in and you see and he punches it.
Oh,
and he's
yes!
Like, take care of him, boys. And I'm like, okay. Yeah, you can't.
I had that same
take
thought,
care
too.
Of him,
like, and there's no evidence. He just walks up to him. He's like, you son of a bitch. Like, he doesn't even explain why he's attacking him. And they're just like, okay, yeah, get him. Yeah, get
and
him.
And then the other guys just take him away.
He literally just walks in, punches him, and they're just like, take him away, boys.
So they didn't know that there was a leak. They knew there was a leak in there.
Well,
knew
he says it earlier. He's like, she calls him. She's like, there's someone in the.
Yes. So they did know. But the fact
that. But does
that
he say that
in
the scene where he's like, we found
so
our rat,
hot.
Boys?
The evidence. least was that the guy said, oh, he said to leave the receipts or whatever with him. And I'm like, how the hell enough, does that yeah, mean
that was enough for Robbie.
100% that this guy is your rat? And he was getting off the phone when he walked in, and I could hear him. So it's possible that they heard him saying, like, the address of the place and stuff. But still, I mean, he just literally walks in and just punches him.
I did have that thought. But that wasn't the thing. I mean, it was funny. But for me, that wasn't the thing where I was like, all right, this movie's getting a little ridiculous. It's the moment when Whoopi gets kidnapped by the goons. They take her back to Reno. And she gets kidnapped with, what's her face? The quiet one.
Sister Mary Roberts.
They kidnap her. Whoopi eventually is able to open up the door. They kick her out. He's like, you don't need her. And she goes to the cops. She goes to the nuns. It's like, they kidnapped Sister Mary Clarence. We got to rescue her. And so the nuns all band together. It's like, we'll go to Reno. Like, we're not going to call. Presumably the cops know. I don't know what they think they're going to do.
Chef's kiss. It's so good.
I would say.
Because she says, otherwise we'd have to leave it to the feds. That's what she says.
But the cops, it's already established that the cops know about, like, they know exactly the location. She told the cop where they're taking her, but the nuns take it upon themselves, yeah, like, no, we know better.
Because they don't trust the feds. Her. Do you trust the feds, Dave?
But it's so funny. Like, what's their plan? Like, we'll go to where she's being held and we'll just dogpile Harvey Keitel.
They get it done.
I would say that, like, I like this like movie and like the whole like in the conceit, but for some reason this section of the movie, and it's more of just like the part where I'm just like, there's nothing.
Where they're going to rescue her?
Yeah, I just don't really. I mean, it's fine. I want them to rescue her, but there's nothing different about this section. This is the only part that really I thought like, come on, all right, get over it. Like, there's nothing like funny going on really.
What? You don't think that them guilting the airplane man is funny?
It's like weird because it's like, where's this airplane guy they found and stuff? It's the only part of the movie I don't really like. It, yeah, I mean, it's paper. It's all good. It's just like the movie's going. I'm like, all right. Well, like I was loving everything with the everything going okay. Why can't we just like stay in the church? You know.
Well, I think yeah, it was kind of like it felt a little too unbelievable. Like for the most part, the movie felt grounded, and suddenly it's like I feel like the reason this is in the movie is like we need a scene when the bad guys are chasing all these nuns and they don't know which one is which.
They're like, I love that scene. You know. That scene is amazing.
That's good. I agree. Yeah. I agree with that.
I was gonna say, as movie fans, you've got to appreciate that.
No, and I like that. And no, I do like the whole bit with the goons. Like, oh, well, we can't kill her. She's a nun now.
Yeah, I can't ice a nun.
I'm surprised they don't do it like in an airport or something. I don't know. There's something like weird that's just like that feels off to me. That whole the going back in the.
Oh, well, you know, it's a movie thing. It's like, okay, so she is out of her element in a church. Now we have to get the nuns out of their element in her element, which is the casino. It's like you got to flip it. It's the Crocodile Dundee effect. Like you got to like true. Have them in both areas.
Well, here, let's maybe I can shape this at least a little bit. Feds, they got a lot of red tape. Nuns don't got that red tape. Nuns answer they got a ruler. Power.
They know how to use it.
Nuns can do stick, what nuns got to do, and they don't have to ask anybody for permission. They just have to ask for forgiveness afterward.
Is this movie missing a scene when a nun whoops Harvey Keitel's butt with a yardstick?
Dave, I don't. If that's what you wanted from it, then. And I love one of the parts that I cried at too, which we wouldn't have gotten either, was when they're about to pop Dolores. And Maggie Smith is like, I assure you, she's a nun. She's a nun. Sister Mary Clarence is a nun.
I do like that, yeah.
Oh, it's so good. There's so many good scenes in those parts. I understand where you're coming from.
No. I think I like all the you're right, the things within it. But for some reason, just like, it's like, okay, we know it's going to be like, fine, get over this stuff. Like, there's not like a twist that's like kind of like keeping me on my toes in that moment, you know, or something. That's the only part for some reason. But like, I like all like the little moments. I just, for some reason, just like it feels like a movie thing or something like that, you know, like something out of like a Disney Channel original or something like that.
Yeah, maybe
you
know? It just didn't have a good segue.
I don't know what it is. Yeah, I mean, I don't know what it is. It's just felt off. But like everything, like I love, Maybe it's just a bummer. Like, I'm like, we're at this point in the movie where I'm like, I like all this stuff of like her going with the, you know, like the things working out and the, them getting like the, you know, the Pope's coming and all these things. And I like the Maggie Smith and Whoopi kind of thing. But now I'm like, oh, we have to do this moment with the cops thing. It's like it's almost like, get over it by now, you know? That's only part. And maybe it's an internal thing with me where I'm just like, ah. I'm just like, don't care about the Harvey.
Well, and it's also, you're coming off a really great emotional scene when, like, you know, they find out the Pope's coming, and then Maggie Smith is like, all right, well, I'm leaving. There's nothing more for me here to do. Things are moving on. And you get this great scene when Whoopi Goldberg's like, well, no, you're like a big figure. You can stay here in the community, you know, and help. Like, you are powerful. People respect you, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's a great scene. And then, like you said, like, and then the zaniness comes back in with the goons, you know?
Those goons, when they're just like, I can't shoot her. She's a nun. I can't shoot her. She's a nun.
There is some good character stuff. I like that Harvey Keitel just does not shoot her. He's like, okay, you guys do it.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to be the one to shoot her. Like, there's some good character stuff.
Yeah. There. Yeah. I think that it's amazing. And, yeah, the scene where they're in the, I love the scene where they're in the casino and she sees one of the sisters playing the slot machine. Maggie Smith sees one of the sisters playing the slot machine. She's like, come on.
Well, that's not the only thing that they've done. Not the only time they fall into temptation, they also eat ice cream.
Oh, yeah.
That evil.
Good too.
Evil.
That's some good too.
There is, to be fair, though, like, you know, there is, Maggie Smith at points in this movie is unnecessarily cruel. It's like, oh, you don't like the food? Well, no food for you. You're put on a personal fast or something like that.
But I can see, I mean, the way that she does it is, I mean, I'm not Catholic, but it goes down that road, I would think, because she says, as a reminder for those that have to do without food.
Mm.
So she's like, at least we have food. You know, there's people out there that don't have food. So I don't think it's cruel. I think that it's, she is trying to be a little bit more controlling, right? And then, but then,
well, she also refers to Whoopi Goldberg's room as a cell. And Whoopi Goldberg repeats it. And she's like, no, I did mince words. I said cell.
Dave, are you sure that they're not called cells?
Yeah, I guess.
Because I got the impression that that's just what they were called.
That's what they were called.
Okay.
Well, Whoopi's right. This church needs an update. We need to bring it into the 20th century.
And then we do get the another big moment, a nice church moment at the end, Ryan, where she does do the song for the Pope with them.
Yeah. It's just that kind of that detour. Just like, I'm just like, ugh. Get over it, you know, or something.
Or do you wish the conflict would have happened in the church?
No, I don't know. I don't know what it is. I don't really have a better, for some reason, just like the chase and like the nuns all getting there. It feels very DCOM-ish. And that's not, and I'm positive on DCOMs. Just, it feels like a little lower.
Well, it is Disney.
It is, yeah. Just feels like it does, maybe that ends up, the movie doesn't feel like a kind of a kid's family movie, I think. I mean, it is. It can work for that. But it kind of, like, this moment feels more in that zone. Like, it feels like The Wizard or something from, you know, like, like just, like, lower than what it's put out, in my opinion.
I think it is doing a big movie thing where it's like, you know, the fish out of water is now back in her element, but now all the people from the church are in her element.
Yeah.
It's doing that flip-flop thing, and then, you know, that's just pretty standard. And I do like Maggie Smith does not want to be here. She basically refers to it as Gamora. but it was fun to see her in that environment and just kind of have like a battle of wills with Harvey Keitel a little bit to some degree. I assure you, this woman is a nun.
Incredible. Absolutely incredible.
And again, just I think the chemistry between Maggie Smith and Whoopi Goldberg is just off the charts. Mm. They're battling together. And just, again, just that moment when, because she is not on board with this whole, like, we're going to put some show tune style into these church choir proceedings, even though it's bringing all the people in. And it's a thing where it's like, you see on Maggie Smith's face where, like, she realizes, like, this is undeniably good for the church, but it's not traditional. Like, that's what she's butting up against. Like, well, we could do more traditional things, you know. But she knows that it's good, and it makes that payoff at the end when she gives that smile when they go into, like, the showy version. Well, it's almost like It's almost like Whoopi Goldberg's like, we'll do a more traditional one for you, and then we'll get into the one that's bringing people in. It almost felt like she was kind of throwing that out to Maggie Smith as like, here's like a beautiful, like kind of more traditional choir.
And she's trying to give her credit, which I like, you know.
Yeah.
She's like,
yeah, she keeps pointing. Yeah, exactly. But that smile that Maggie Smith gives to Whoopi Goldberg as the last song is playing, I'm going to tear up thinking about it right now. It's so good. And it makes me, I looked online. I'm like, did this get any awards attention? Because I feel like Maggie Smith in this movie should have got like a supporting actress nom or something. She is so good in this movie.
It got some off-kilter awards, not like Oscars or
like comedy awards, yeah, or something, yeah, like that. Or I think the Golden Globes might have been involved, but they don't count. They're not real. nobody cares about the Golden Globe.
And then one of my very favorite parts is the skit at the beginning of the Nothing You Can Do, because I'm stuck like glue to my God. It's when they're like, you see that guy over there? People say he's real weird. And you're talking about Whoopi Goldberg's face. Like, her faces during that little skit are incredible. They're so good.
Yeah, those little things in between. Those little talking moments.
Well, and she's in her element, and you could see on her face, it's like, this shit is working.
Yeah.
Like, they are good. Like, when she rearranges everyone, like, oh, no, you shouldn't be there. You should be over here. You should be over there. Like, she puts everyone in their proper positions for maximum effect. And yeah. She, like
how their voices should carry, you know. In the
yeah, it's like, you need to be in front. Like, oh, you got a huge instrument there. You know what I mean? Like, it's,
oh, she's like, yeah, she has a very powerful instrument. I just love it.
But it's like, I get why this movie was a huge hit. This movie, like, on a $31 million budget, I think it ended up grossing, like, $230 worldwide.
It was one of the big hits of 1992. 92. Yeah.
It was a huge hit, and apparently it was the biggest rental of 93.
Oh, I remember. I think we had this on VHS. I wonder if that was Kathy Najimy's real voice, because the Sister Mary Roberts, that wasn't her real voice. They dubbed her in with somebody else. But I didn't see anything in the Chad MD about Kathy Najimy. So I wonder if that was her real voice.
Who knows? Was it Whoopi's voice?
Yeah, I believe that's Whoopi's real voice.
I think at least in some parts, I think it is. I don't know if it is in the beginning, but maybe if it is, it's amazing.
Yeah. I mean, her look at Emmy Rossum was operatically trained, so maybe
Emmy Rossum. Somebody you could go to.
I'm just saying there's like actors and actresses out there that maybe you wouldn't know that they were until you knew that they were someone, or maybe
I guess I was thinking of Whoopi, because like Whoopi is like, you know, stand-up comedian that Spielberg discovers basically, so it's just like it's interesting. I don't know if she went to like a theater training or anything like that.
Well, I wouldn't say that her voice is incredible. She can carry a tune. I mean,
in those parts good, where she's singing in the church, I think that sounds like her.
So. Yes, I agree.
It's more the beginning with her little group. Her little
the girl group. Yeah, good point.
There's just something about like this. I wouldn't know if I'd classify this as a concert movie necessarily, but there's something about when like. Yeah, like a musical. Like, there's something about when, like, a concert scene in a movie just works. You feel like you're there, and it just gets me going so much in a way that it's a very specific thing in a movie that gets me going. Like a good concert scene in a movie, you feel like you're there. The music is pumping. You feel it through the crowd. Like, you know, I was watching this in my ISO booth in the church, and I felt like the energy flowing out. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it just, oh, it was so good, man.
Did you convert?
Like what the priest says, like, it's bringing say like the singing call to them, you know, the power of God
called to the children.
You're right, because when it works, it's amazing. It's the thing is it's hard to make it work, I think, because that's the thing that makes me cringe, is like a concert movie thing in a movie that doesn't work.
You don't think it worked here?
No, I think it works amazing in this. I'm just saying, like, it's one of those things, like, where it does feel like they're singing, and it doesn't feel like a lip-syncing thing or anything like that.
Yeah, sometimes it feels very artificial when you see concert stuff in movies, like, but this
the audio, like the mix sounds like it's in a theater, you know, or in a
this,
church.
This felt like you were there in the church, you know what I mean? And just like it hit me. I mean, granted, spoiler alert, Jana, I took a little substance before we walked into the church.
I assume But happens every time.
I was, dude, there were three big musical sequences in this movie, and I was sobbing during each one. It just got to be so hard. That first one, when they go, and, you know, she's like, the thing was like, ah, da, da, you know.
And Sister Mary Roberts is so excited. She looks over, and she's like, I did it. Oh, so sweet in that first one.
Yeah, because she gets like a solo moment. Yes.
And she's like, I did it. I did it. It's so sweet. I love it.
Yeah, there's not, aside from like the kind of goofy thing with the nuns going to chase her, like, I don't really have a big any real problems with this movie. Like, Jana, I know you have absolutely no qualms with this movie whatsoever.
No. None. Zero. Everything is perfect. It's a perfect 90s lighthearted comedy. Absolutely perfect. They just don't make movies like this anymore where it's easy down, you know, it's easy to digest. It's fun. It's good. It's, yeah, I mean.
That's the problem with movies nowadays. They're not good.
They're not easy to digest. They're not. I mean, when was the last, like, comedy that came out in a theater?
Well, they don't make comedies anymore.
Exactly.
They're all Netflix original movies, like Happy Gilmore 2.
That was tough, and I love Happy Gilmore.
Well, speaking of sequels, I didn't watch it, but Jana, I'm told that you right before we wrapped Sister Act 1, me and Ryan went to get some beans and tomatoes in the commissary that they were serving over there, but you stayed behind and watched Sister Act 2.
Yeah, I felt the spirit too much, and I didn't need food. I was staying on Whoopi.
Yeah, what's better? Is it...
How does 2 stack up against 1?
It's just very hard. It's incredibly hard to say because I think it is a perfect follow-up to the first one. I think it's so good. And actually, I did sin a little bit. I snuck Cody in with me.
What?
Yeah. And, but it was just a watch movie. It was just why I was perfectly chased. And
I hope so.
At the part in the second one where they're doing the kids are doing their concert at the competition, he's just like, were the 90s the best time ever? Like, he really cottoned to the second one a lot. And he said it's been so long since he saw the first one. But yeah, the second one is, I just think, a perfect follow-up to the first
one. And you said that's the one where, like, there's like a bunch of kids and there's like a concert.
Well,
that
she goes to teach at a Catholic school.
Okay, they're okay. The kids are in the school.
Yeah, and she teaches music class. Yep.
And yeah, but okay, because as we see, and speaking of the 90s, as we see at the end of this movie, this is a fun 90s trope that I like that we see once in a while in movies at the time, where like magazine covers come in during the credits to show like what's happening to the characters, like Bill and Ted. And apparently she gets huge. She gets like a number one album or something. She gets on Time magazine.
Yeah, in the first part of the second movie, her agent is talking to the three nuns that come to get her, and he's like, oh, are you represented? Are you resident? I have all of your CDs. So it sounds like the nuns do kind of like a, you know, like Buddhist monks sometimes will put their chanting out on albums and stuff like that. It sounds like the nuns did something like that.
Well, we do see an album where like she's with them. Like, they cut an album together at some point.
Yep.
So it sounds like it's not much of a step down, if any.
I don't think so. I mean, there's teenagers in it, so if you're averse to children.
So if she's become famous, why does she have to get back in the habit?
She's not super famous. She is headlining a show in Vegas, but when we see her, when they come to get her, it's her last night there, too. There's no explanation as to why it's her last night, but they're just like, oh, and on her last show. She does it as a favor to Maggie Smith, because Maggie Smith needs
So do the kids not know that she's like this famous
Correct.
Nun and
not
stuff?
Until the end. Yeah.
So she's like a one-hit wonder. The kids didn't catch wind of her.
Well, I mean, I don't even listen to the Buddhist monk chants. I don't know about them. I wouldn't be able to tell you who they are.
We should say, like, Sister Act 2 came out 1 year after Sister Act 1. They whipped their, like, Sister Act 1 was a huge hit. They're like, we need another one. Could we get her back into habit?
It's funny because they did that. Wayne's World 1 came out this year, too. And then also the sequel came out a year later also. So they were just like, with the sequels back then, they were like, we need to get in there quick.
I've never seen Wayne's World, but the fact that they whipped together the Sister Act 2 that quickly, it's very good. I would actually be interested.
I'm surprised you haven't seen Wayne's World. That seems like it'd be like a Jan if you'd really like with all the characters you have around you. I feel like you would be like, oh, this is all the personalities I enjoy being around are from this movie. Basically,
that seems
I watch it for Tia Carrera.
Oh,
ooh, boy!
Like okay. I feel like most.
Jana, stop tempting me.
Whenever I watch like Wayne's World, basically any like Mike Myers and like Austin Powers and stuff, I'm like, oh, this is where everything my whole life is rolled around this stuff.
After we get out of church, Jana, you need to watch Wayne's World because I think Ryan's right. That is like a secret Jana movie you didn't even know.
Maybe
existed.
Not even that, but just like I think you would just understand everybody around you or something like that.
Obviously, party on, excellent.
But just like, the small things in the movie, like I feel like it's just like it's full of like I don't know, like characters in your life. I feel like that movie.
Interesting.
You know?
All right.
Where's for my birthday, career? Will you watch Wayne's World, Janet?
If you'd rather do that, I would rather watch that than The Rocketeer, to be honest with you.
This is a false narrative that Jana has put out for years, that for some reason on my birthday, I like to watch The Rocketeer.
No, that is not the narrative. The narrative is that he's your favorite superhero. Is that that's your favorite superhero movie?
Maybe as a kid. No, Batman was my favorite superhero.
You told me that. I said, who is your favorite superhero?
And okay, you know what it is? Okay, it's like in Sister Act.
That's a hipster take, you know?
You know what it is? Okay, I'm like basically Harvey Keitel. Like, I'm married to Batman, but I'm seeing The Rocketeer on the side. You know, I'm giving The Rocketeer fur coats. I don't want my Batman to know about it.
Oh, we actually do. We get to see his wife a little bit. His wife is watching.
Oh, yeah, for one scene, she's like, look at this, honey. We should give them money.
We should send them money.
Well, any final thoughts on Sister Act? Oh, one thing I want to mention. I don't want to get off this. Do you guys know who directed Sister Act 2?
I do, because he also has a very small role, and I called attention to it, and Cody was like, oh, he was the director.
What? It's nuts.
Who is the director, pray tell? We've seen him before on the podcast.
Predator,
it's
obviously.
Bill Duke.
Bill Duke.
Bill Duke.
Yeah.
Did he just die? Am I thinking someone? I'm thinking someone else.
You're thinking of Hulk Hogan.
No, I'm scared.
People get them mixed up all the time.
I didn't know he directed a lot of movies I never heard of, but
Hulk Hogan?
No, Bill Duke.
Actually, I directed Back in the Habit, brother. I won the WWF title from Yokozuna, and then I went over and I directed Back in the Habit.
I can't do it. Okay, I gotta do the brother. I directed Brother Act, brother.
Oh, God.
And actually, well, so speaking of Brother Act, the second one has some monks, like Catholic fathers. I don't know what the hell they are. They're dressed
priests?
In robes like priests,
like,
but they're dressed in robes like monks.
Like the red, like they're like cardinals or something?
No, they're like... Like Friar Tuck. Maybe they're friars. and they're great. And so they're in the second one at the school, and they're wonderful, too.
I'm going to have to check
that must be the, whatever the male a nun is or something, is a friar. Yeah. Maybe it's a friar? I didn't know.
Maybe it's a friar. Maybe.
Well, I got some homework to do. I need to watch Sister Act, too. Jana, for my birthday wish, I want you to watch Wayne's World.
Okay. It is basically your birthday, so...
It's funny you watching the. I mean, I sent this to you guys, and it, you know, take with a grain of salt the old Raj and Siskel's take on this movie, and they kept talking about Wayne's World. They love Wayne's World. They were just like,
they were talking about Wayne's World during Sister Act, also.
Oh, like during their Sister Act, their review. They're like, it's good, but it doesn't quite have the twists and turns like Wayne's World did. You know, they're like,
okay, that's a strange comparison to make Sister Act and Wayne's World.
I think they were just talking about comedies of that year, and that was in their head.
Oh, okay.
But they were not so hot on it, but they didn't hate it. They did love Whoopi and everything a lot.
Who from Scissor Act would be Wayne and who would be Garth?
Well, it'd be Kathleen the Jimmy and Rob's sister. I can't remember. I don't know the actress's name. I haven't seen her in anything.
You're not even gonna put Dolores as Wayne.
I guess she's not really Wayne. Really, you know. I don't know.
Yeah.
She's not? Why not?
You gotta see the movie, Jana. Okay. I don't know what to tell you.
It's more probably Dolores and the quiet one, or the Wayne and Garth of Sister Act.
Mary Roberts.
Mary Roberts.
Is Garth.
Well, I guess I don't have to ask, but she's is Garth. It safe to say recommends across the board?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think this one is a good like little hold-up movie. It's, yeah, I'm trying to think of anything similar that's kind of like in this vibe, you know, now. Like, it has like a movie star in it, and,
there's nothing.
That's like a lighthearted comedy, like you were saying, you know?
I can't even remember the last comedy that I watched and enjoyed.
But no, I think it's a recommendation. I think I'd put this. I mean, yeah. It sounds funny. This year has been such religious esque movies. Like we watched, you know, Passion of the Christ, The Mummy, Sister Act. You know, it's just like
The Mummy. Yeah. A different kind of religion. Yes, that's true.
Yeah.
All right. So who's the Jonathan and who's the
We got into that in our mummy episode, I'm sure. Well, when the Dave's Apology Tour continues, we'll be doing Ryan's take.
Oh, shoot.
Ryan had a movie he wanted us to watch, cool. A good movie. It's actually kind of a counter to the movie we just watched.
I don't know if it's good, so I just don't know.
Is it Brother Act?
If this is the one.
No, it's on ChadTube, and it's the opposite of Sister Act. It's Super Julia versus Satan.
So I saw this on like a, I didn't get to see this movie, but like I saw some stuff about it and it looked very interesting and I feel like we should watch it. It's on YouTube or ChadTube, so Zizou, I think Zinu, how do you say it? Zuzu. Apparently, this is just a little thing. She's the most famous like singer in Brazil. And she was like in this kids movie, but she like fights Satan in it, I guess, or something. So
so this is actually kind of a nice segue. Singing only, we're leaving church behind and going into the realm of Satan.
She was like a famous kid like singer, and also like got popular like in when she got older. She's still alive, and she's like this famous Brazilian singer. I know nothing about.
So we're literally going from the northern hemisphere to the southern hemisphere too. This is opposite in every way.
She fights Satan apparently. So.
Well, I can't wait. When we come back, when my apology tour continues, we'll be watching, I'm probably pronouncing this wrong, Super Julia versus Satan.
It might be Zuzu. I don't know. I'll do some research on this woman. I'm very much now a big fan. I've never seen the movie. I've never seen her music, but now she's my gal. I'll do some research for this. This is a teaser for next week.
All right. Well, until then, let's all rise. Jana, would you like to send us off with a song?
Yeah, I'll lead you guys in the song. I'll be the... Okay. All right.
Our God is an awesome God. He reigns on
heaven. Oh, Maria.
God bless us, everyone.
Go.
I love this song.
We had a lovely time. We'll be back.
Yes, we will. Good night.
Bless you.
Leave it.
This turns into a nun's bar, I'm out of here.